Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
We're going to do something a bit different now. We talk a lot these days about various aspects of people's mental health and their neurology and their personality traits. But you know what we don't really talk about at all is shyness. And we tend to associate shyness with children, but loads of adults out there are somewhere on a shyness spectrum. And there's no doubt, I think it holds people back socially, but also in terms of, I think sometimes people feel they limit their lives and they don't maybe have the kind of life they feel they might have had. So I'm joined now by three shy people, comedian and actor Michael Fry, who describes himself as a shy extrovert, accredited counsellor and mindfulness expert Padraig O'Moran, who describes himself as a shy introvert, and documentary maker Pauline Dunn, who made The Little Mouse in the Corner for RTE's Doc on One. And she would say she's an introvert who has shy moments. Good morning, everyone. You're all very welcome.
Good morning.
Padraig, will you give us the science bit first? What is shyness?
Well, shyness is probably often seen as fear-based because you're very aware of other people, how they might be judging you and so on, and of how you might look, how you might come across. So it's essentially fear. Probably a person who is shy is also an introvert, though not necessarily, but usually would be an introvert, which would be somebody who gets enough stimulation, if you like, from very little.
Okay.
Whereas an extrovert needs a lot of stimulation.
Okay. And we might come back to that differentiation and the crossover there.
Yeah.
But the shyness piece itself then, so, is kind of, is like self-consciousness. Is it?
It's a self-consciousness.
Is it the opposite of confidence, essentially?
It's the opposite of confidence in a public space. You might be confident in yourself, but not confident in yourself in that interaction, in how you look or how you come across. But there can be a cultural side to it too. It can vary from country to country. In Japan, you would get a higher level in the research anyway of shyness, because that kind of almost shy approach is kind of more valued there, you know?
Okay.
Whereas in the US, you would get a lower level of it. But still, a good many people in the US say they are shy, but then they are comparing themselves to very extroverted people, you know?
Yeah.
So it can vary around.
And then, why are people shy? Is it genetic or is it early childhood kind of experience?
It's partly genetic. It can be genetic. These traits can go down through generations. It can be experiences in childhood. It can be embarrassing experiences. It can be being shamed by people. They would be two main things. If you belong to a group of people who are looked down on, also you might be shy, perhaps. Freud would say that, you know, you can react in one or two ways to these things. You could be shy or you could be totally out there as a reaction.
Okay.
So for many people, it's shyness that they go for, yeah.
Michael Fry, when did shyness become an issue for you or something you're aware of?
Yeah, I'd say probably around secondary school. So I went to a small enough primary school. I had a big class, but I went to a small enough primary school. And then I went to an all-boys school, and suddenly I was, as teenagers are, very self-conscious, but also in this brand new environment. And it was kind of it was a sports kind of a school as well. So, like, it wasn't, I don't think that particular environment, like, suited me very well. But, yeah, it started to then kind of impact how
would you describe it?
Kind of like a limitation or kind of like a fence you have to get over, almost. Like, a lot of the time you have to push through it. Or what I noticed when I was in secondary school is I would put my hand over my mouth quite a lot when I was talking, or I was kind of very self-conscious about my face or my voice or anything like that. So it was almost like this block that came over me anytime I wanted to say or do anything, you know.
And Pauline, for you, when did you realise the spotlight wasn't for you?
For me, it was kind of the opposite. It was primary school or even before that. Like, I remember going into the shop with my mum, maybe when I was like four or something. And you know, the person at the checkout would be like, oh, who's this? And I was just mortified. I was like, do not look at me. I just like hid behind my mother's legs. And also I remembered I was actually a play school dropout. So I don't know if that means anything. But in school, in primary school, it was more the teachers really made a big deal of me being quiet. Like every school report is, you know, everything else was good, but there was always a little note at the end, Polly needs to speak up in class. And it used to drive me mad. And then also, it was more like the volume of my voice, I think, was the issue. I remember one time in sixth class, I think, like all the class was sitting around in a semicircle and we had to read. The teacher got me to read out of a book out loud, and I started reading, and obviously I wasn't reading it loud enough, and she just started going mad at me and shouting the head off me, and I was absolutely mortified. I always remember that, like, and I was just like, well, I'm never speaking out loud again. Then
okay,
this is
so
the reaction
you might
again.
Have been just a quiet
I think,
person,
yeah,
but
I was just
then
quiet.
You kind of got shamed into really self-conscious.
Yeah, like they made such a big deal out of the volume of my voice, which I know it's annoying, but it's not that much, like I wasn't doing it on purpose, you know. And then I just got really self-conscious about that, maybe.
Padraig, were you shy as a kid, or how did it
I was, yeah. I was shy as a kid. I can sort of remember that. And I was shy in school. And I have a memory of being in the class and we were all sort of supposed to sing a hymn or something. And this teacher, and I wasn't singing. Even in a crowd, I would be shy about singing. And I was brought out, made to stand in front of the class and told to sing. But I didn't, I couldn't, nothing came out. So I presume I was sent off back to my desk with some choice insult or something. That's a memory.
Yeah. And then how would you describe your shyness as life went on?
As life went on, I adapted to it, I worked with it. It wasn't something that was in my mind all the time. I found that in work I tended to, you know, I was in public relations for a while, which is an odd place for a shy person to be. But I would say, write press releases that could get into the newspaper without me having to talk to journalists, because I was afraid of them.
So that's interesting. And I think a lot of shy people end up constructing their lives around it in a way, don't they, of avoidance, which is probably not a good thing. But would I be right?
Yeah, I would say that my personality is probably a bit avoidant, all right, yeah. And I would do background stuff. I wouldn't be doorstepping somebody at midnight when I was a reporter with the Irish Times. I became one of those horrible journalists. But I would be digging stories out in the background, and I was good at that. And but I wasn't that. So you need extroverts and you need introverts.
Yeah. And so when I hear you saying that, then do you have regrets about it then? So do you think this has held me back and there was a different life I potentially could have had?
I would have probably done different stories, more stories. I've been out there getting onto the front page more often, but I did get onto the front page often enough. So I would generally, and I would have enjoyed social events more. However, I'm happy with where my life is now. And if it had been different, you know, like the thing about the butterfly in South America creates a storm in Europe. If anything had been different, I would not have what I have now.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy with that. I don't want it to have changed. But it can be quite painful. Shyness is a painful feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Before you get kind of used to it.
Michael,
dodge around.
Do you have that at all, that you feel there were things you might have done or a different life, or that there's things missing in your life because of shyness?
Yeah, absolutely. I do really relate to the print thing, because I started doing comedy on Twitter, like through tweets rather than, you know, through stand-up or anything like that. And I definitely think I would have started those things a lot sooner had I felt comfortable and confident enough around people to do it.
And what about what Padraig says about missing out on social occasions and, you know, relationships?
Absolutely. Like in college, I definitely have avoided kind of society events and things like that, and meeting new people. I think it definitely limited my social circle. And I also did languages. I did two languages in college. That was probably the worst decision I made for a shy person, because when you speak a foreign language, you have to make mistakes all the time. You have to make a fool of yourself. And I was just unable to do that. So I came out with not a great result. So, yeah.
Would you agree with Padraig that it's painful?
Yes, I would. Yeah. It's the frustration knowing that this would be very easy if I just didn't feel like this, you know?
Yeah. Pauline, have you limited your life because of it?
Probably in a way, like when I finished school, like I always knew I wanted to kind of get into journalism in some way, but I didn't even consider it, like when I was doing my CAO, because I was just like, well, I'm too quiet for that. And then I went and I did legal studies in Waterford for 2 years. And then while I was doing that, I knew I couldn't do that forever. Like, I was like, right, I'll have to just try the, I can't let being quiet get in the way. So then I went and I did journalism, and like, I did okay in it, and I'm still in it now. But yeah, it probably would be easier if I wasn't kind of a bit shy and introverted.
And socially?
Socially, I don't think so. Like, I've always been good at, like, making friends and stuff. Like, in school, like, I always loved going to birthday parties, and I wouldn't have shied away from those things. I don't know what the difference is. But yeah, I feel like I have a normal, like, yeah, not like I'm not an extrovert, but like, I just have an average social life. But it's more in the work side of things. It probably would have been easier if I wasn't introverted or shy.
Padraig, you grew up in the era of dance halls.
Yeah.
Which I presume for the shy young lad was a bit of a nightmare, was it?
It was. I used to go into Lawler's Ballroom in Nace, which in memory was the size of Croke Park. I don't know whether it was or not.
Yeah.
But that walk across the floor, you know, the guys were on one side, the girls on the other, that walk across the floor to ask somebody to dance, it was really something. And so I had a rule, which was, when I've asked three girls to dance, I can go home. But until I've done that, I can't go home. So I was sort of fighting myself, you know, I was pushing myself in that sense.
Yeah.
So that I can go home with dignity. Sometimes people did actually dance with me, but I do think that if you're very shy, sometimes that comes across a bit, maybe. Or it affected my delivery of asking them if they wanted to dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was that was my little rule, yeah.
Michael, how has dating been for you?
Oh, not great. I think when I was in secondary school, I would talk a good game on MSN Messenger, those kinds of things. And then when I actually met those people in real life, I'd be like, oh, hello, you know. But yeah, I think dating apps have been very helpful for me in lots of ways, because I don't have to make the first impression in person. And then, yeah, you know, I think a one-on-one situation is always kind of easier for people like us than a big group thing or approach in person to someone in real life. So yeah, it's gotten better as I've gotten older. But yeah, it was a particular nightmare when I was younger, yeah.
So, Padraig, we talk now about social anxiety.
Yeah.
Is that like what used to be known as somebody with crippling shyness? Or is social anxiety a different thing to shyness?
I suppose it might be a way to describe a crippling shyness. With social anxiety, it's, you know, your heart can be thumping, you're sweating, you're terrified. It's a big step up from the shyness that we are talking about. And, I mean, I've heard of people getting prescriptions for beta blockers to help them with social anxiety in some situations. So social anxiety is a tough one. We hear that there's a lot of it about. I don't know whether that's actually shyness, an exaggerated way of describing shyness. But the real thing in social anxiety is pretty tough. It's possibly genetic. It's probably genetic, actually. But it is a hard one to overcome. And again, people have to find a way to work with it. But it is a tough one. It's a very intense thing.
Michael, you'd say you have social anxiety, wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah. And
Is it that full body thing? It's kind of more than shyness, yeah?
Yeah, full body. I can feel it in my arms even. I can feel just my nerves not doing well. And like, I'm not able to actually get the words out physically a lot of the time. And, you know, I do have a prescription for an anti-anxiety medication, and that's changed my life. I'm able to drive, and I'm able to like do stand-up and things like that I wouldn't have been able to do before. I would have been absolutely like fixed to the spot and unable to do it. So yeah, I think social anxiety is how I probably describe my shyness.
Yeah. So Pauline, you probably wouldn't identify with any of that, would you? You're more, it's more about introversion for you, is it?
For the most part, but I definitely have moments where I am very shy, like just times where you might be feeling a bit insecure, like even in a new job, or if I'm around like a lot of big personalities, I kind of cower in the corner a little bit. Just,
yeah, sometimes those people can feel they're taking up all the air.
Yeah, yeah. As well, and I do like those people too. Yeah, like they're good fun in that. But I feel like I can't really contribute in those situations so well.
So you don't know what to say?
Don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say. A common thing here. Is that part of it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you be good small talkers now?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it on my
TV. I did all right in the room. Before
Yeah.
I think the people who are shy, I think we make the mistake sometimes of thinking that we have to say something brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But in fact, people prefer to talk about things that are familiar to them. Yeah. And you don't have to be brilliant. I would also say the brilliant conversation is maybe a bit of a pain in the neck anyway for everybody, because everybody has to just listen to them. So I think just talking about the weather and all of this kind of thing is fine. But shy people put this burden on themselves. Oh, I have to be brilliant, you know. I have to be like the most outgoing person in the room. Big mistake that people make, instead of comparing themselves to the average person in the room. So we put that kind of, it's like a horse carrying a couple of extra stone, you know, to equalise, to slow it down.
Yeah.
We're a bit like that, yeah.
There's lots of texts coming in. Just what you were saying there, someone saying, is shyness a fear of failure, or perhaps a sign of perfectionism? And that is a bit of overthinking what you're going to say, because it needs to be the mot juste, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone here says, I teach junior infants. I'm listening here. I'm realising how often parents ask me, is he, she very shy? At parent-teacher meetings, the implication, this is a huge worry, is it? Though I'm reasonably quiet myself, I have my downtime. I have two shy siblings who I consider to be two of the happiest, relaxed people I know. There's this notion that shy is bad and that we need to bring people out of themselves. You had that, Pauline, as a kid, didn't you? When we think back now, it was... is she shy? Are they shy? Yeah.
I know, yeah. And I think that's an important thing, that you're not meant to point out that a child is shy, because then they kind of take that on as, well, okay, I'm shy, there's nothing I can do about it. It's more of a, like what I said earlier, like you have shy moments, but you can get over it and move on. Like, it's not who you are, it's just something that makes you a bit nervous sometimes, you know, social things.
Yeah, so that label stuck on a child early on is not helpful. So then, Michael, you're a shy extrovert then, which sounds like a bit of a bind, because you need people, but you're afraid of them, yeah?
Yeah. It's hell, Brandon. Yeah,
really? You're kind of two steps forward and one step
pretty
back.
Pretty much, yeah. No, I like my job now because I meet lots of people or whatever, but what I do before I meet people is I prepare some questions to ask them, you know?
As in
stuff like, I'm sure Porrick heard me ask them earlier on, like, you know, what do you do day to day? Where are you based? All that kind of stuff. And it kind of helps you kind of pre-game things and keep a conversation moving. But I do totally agree with that thing of, like, you almost feel like you have to be exceptional to be acceptable a lot of the time. And that's not the case. I think you are not thinking about other people as much as you're thinking about yourself. And that's true for everybody. So, you know, I often go home and I'm like, God, I shouldn't have said that. That was a really stupid thing to say. But the other person does not remember that interaction at all, you know.
Yeah, you see, there's a few texts here going basically, like, shyness is for people who think everyone else is thinking about them and looking at them. Nobody is important. Once you know that, you'll be fine. Mm. There can be an element, can't there? People think, shy people, like, they think they're it, like, and everybody, nobody cares about you. Get confident, stupid, kind of, you know.
Yeah, but there's that thing of, like, moralising it and saying that it's a bad thing and you're a bad person for not talking enough and all that kind of stuff. I think when I was in secondary school, I probably came across as snobby, maybe, but it was just that I didn't know what to say, and it was just easier to remain neutral than be expressive and have that slagged out of you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, funny, there's a text here, often people who are shy come across as snobby when they're not, they're just shy. But Porrick, you had a kind of a breakthrough moment around that in a pub once, didn't you?
Yeah, a long time ago in Sinnott's Pub, in the old Sinnott's Pub off Stephen's Green, I was with a group of people and we were talking, just chatting, and for some reason we were talking about personalities and stuff like this, which wasn't usual at that time, but anyway. And one person turned to me and said, yeah, but I mean, you're not easily upset or that. You're as cold as ice or something. Now, a person might take that the wrong way. I was delighted because I suddenly realised people don't know I'm this shy. They don't know. They think I'm actually this really cool sort of dude who doesn't get upset by things. That was fantastic to realise other people do not know how shy you are. They cannot look into you. They don't know.
Because I presume guys, like Pauline, shy people imagine that everybody else can see how uncomfortable they are.
Yeah. Like when you have a twitch in your eye, you think everyone can see it, but no one can actually see it. Yeah.
Your breakthrough moment, Pauline, was a book that I do think like changed so many people's lives, and it more less than shyness. It was around introversion, extroversion.
Yeah. Susan Cain's book, Quiet. What's it called? Quiet.
The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Yeah.
I saw a review of it in the paper, so I said I'd get it and I read it. And like, it was the first time like my personality was ever shown to me as not a bad thing. Like, as actually it could be a strength.
Yeah.
Up until then, it was always my greatest weakness. Like, I knew, I was always like, if you know, when you go into interviews and they're like, oh, what's your weakness? I knew that was the honest answer, or that's what I felt was the honest answer, but I didn't want to tell them that. But once I read that book, I was like, oh, actually, maybe it's not. Maybe it's something that could be a strength. So yeah, that book made a big difference. And obviously reading a book doesn't change everything, but like, it's been about 7 or 8 years since then, and actually 7 years since I made my documentary. And I swear I haven't really focused on being shy or introverted since I made that. Like, I just got it all out of my system. I haven't really thought about it. Yeah.
I'm sorry for bringing you back to this.
I think it's just like, I finally had my say. I was like, look, I know I'm quiet. It's not a big deal. You don't have to point it out to me everywhere I go.
So, Porik, that book, what I think it did for a lot of people was that, I think up to then, shy and introversion were regarded as the same thing. And Susan Cain very much made that distinction and then said that, you know, we need introverts. And just explain the subtle difference between shy and introverted.
Well, an introvert, introversion seems to be your physical makeup in your brain, that you're getting a lot of... If you take a given amount of stimulation, that for an introvert, that amount of stimulation, say a conversation with a couple of people, gives them all the stimulation they want, and they would. And if it gets more than that, they would like to go off into a quiet corner for a while. If you're an extrovert, you don't get your stimulation as easily, so you have to kind of work harder for it. And so, the extrovert then might need to be surrounded by a group of people, and sort of be telling the jokes and, you know, why.
And that's what recharges their batteries.
That recharges their batteries.
Yeah.
So,
Pauline, do you have to go away and, like, if you, after this now, for example, will you have to go away and lie down in the dark room for recharging?
Yeah.
There's they call it an introversion hangover, is that right?
Yeah.
So describe that.
So, like, I love going out and being friends and stuff, for one night, and like, I'll give that one night everything I've got, and then I don't want to see anyone for a few days. Like, that's just the way it is. But and you know, we got married there recently, and it was a 1 day wedding, and everyone's like, you're not doing a 2 day wedding, and I can't think of anything worse actually. But yeah, that's just, I heard Marion Keyes say the same thing, like, and she's very chatty and, you know, bubbly and everything, but she said the same. She'll go out to the party and then she just wants to sit in a dark room for a few hours and recover.
Come here, there's a lot of text here. I just wanted to read some of them. Brendan, I was a social cripple until I got to 40. Along with the shyness, I used to turn crimson and I'm suffering the consequences. That's from Joe. I do think there are a lot of people out there. I probably have constructed my life now around knowing my limitations in terms of shyness and all that. There are a lot of people who kind of have, it's held them back in life, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's all very well for me to say I'm happy with the life I have now and I don't want it to have changed. But there are people who are not happy with the life that they have now. So yes, it can hold people back in that sense. And people, if people can have their strategies and the things that we've talked about that sort of get you through and get you into groups, for your life to change, you do need to be probably interacting with people.
So you need to take some risks.
You do, yeah. You need to take some risks. You really do. Because that's where change happens. And it might be just talking to one person, it might be talking to two, it might be talking to a group. Like that thing in the pub that we were talking about when I found out that people couldn't look through me. That could only happen because I was with a group of people who could say it to me, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of need to even just take 5% more of a risk than you took last week or last month.
Yeah. It's hard though. You could get embarrassed, Michael, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I remember you said a great thing the last time you were here, which was a kind of a breakthrough for you, was saying embarrassment is not real. It's not a real
thing. Yeah, it's not a real thing. Like, it's imaginary, you know?
In terms of taking the risks, then people are going to be going, sure, this guy's not shy. Like, he's a comedian. Do you think that was deliberate? Did you like deliberately run at it, maybe like into something that was going to force you out of your comfort zone a bit?
In a way, yes. And I was coaxed to do stand-up. I was begged to do stand-up almost. Like, my agent booked a thing. She was like, right, you're doing it. You want to do this? Let's go, you know? I think I like to do things because they're hard, because then you change and you're better off at doing what you do because of it. But a quote I remember, I was backstage at a comedy festival, and I was, you know, it was the first time I'd done live comedy or whatever. And I was with Tony Cantwell, and he was saying, he's a comedian as well. And he said he was reading a book about owls to his baby son. And there was this quote from it. It was like, I remember all the times I've been scared before, and I don't feel so scared anymore. And it's stuck with me since, where I'm like, I've done this before. I can, you know, and the world didn't end. So let's do it again. Be fine.
Okay, so would you say then that you have learned to manage it, is it?
Yeah, it's still there. It doesn't disappear, but I can manage it is the right term for that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the email here, I was once told ego was the cause of shyness. I was shy to give my opinion. I was told that was because I was afraid of my idea being laughed at. He pointed out that if I had no ego, I wouldn't care if people laughed or not. You know, one thing that is coming across, a lot of people are just basically saying, I'm shy and I really identify with everything here and it's held me back. Is there a bit of judgmentalism in our culture, Padraig, about shy people, that they're up themselves, kind of?
I think there possibly is, because you can come across as aloof, you know, and aloof, and people can interpret that then as that you're standoffish, but really you're just being shy. Or on the positive side, people can think, I have found that when I don't say anything because I can't think of anything to say, people think that I'm thinking deep thoughts, and they say still waters run deep. So it can work for you as well. So yeah, there is. It depends on the culture. In some cultures, shyness would be possibly prized, you know, you're a proper modest member of society. In ours, it's a bit more out there. I think the Irish culture, as time goes on, extroversion has become more a thing in Ireland and popular. I think back in the day, it was less so.
You see, is that it? Like, yeah, that actually culturally, you were supposed to kind of not be too gregarious or anything because, oh, that person's a bit, they're a bit much, like.
There's a painting by Sir John Lavery down in the National Gallery, I think, of Irish pilgrims at Lough Derg, and you look at them and you see they are abnegating themselves. They are writing themselves out of life. They are so down almost, kneeling there, and you wonder, what happened to us? But that was part of it. That became part of it. We're a very traumatised nation, if you go back to the famine, etc. And without getting into it too much, these things can travel down through generations also. But yes, it was that shy sort of approach was, I think, was valued. Now it's a more extrovert approach, I think, that's valued, which is fine.
In Susan Cain's book, actually, she says that years ago, like, everyone kind of grew up in small towns and villages. They knew everybody. You got a job because they knew who you were already, they knew you were good or whatever. And then everyone started moving to towns and cities where you didn't know anybody and you had to be extroverted and make your case, I suppose, talk to talk. Mm. And that's how extroversion kind of became the ideal rather than...
And she also says that in America, the culture comes from basically the Dale Carnegie era where... And like we've seen it again recently, poor old Joe Biden and the debate... That they value the person who can declaim and who can speak loudly in a group and who can debate and all that kind of thing. Whereas that's not always the best person for anything. And she pointed out a lot of the new breed of CEOs are now introverts who go around listening to people.
And you
would say, Padraig, you were saying there about that we need both in a team or in a workplace environment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was in a situation when I was studying psychology where we were divided into introverts and extroverts. We were given a task to perform. And the introvert group, of which I was a member, we were done and in the bar about 2 hours before the extroverts, who were still going around beating their chests and arguing with each other about what they would do.
Yeah.
Things done faster. Now, I think you need a mix. I think it's great to have a mix. most places do have such a mix, whether they know it or not. But it's great to have such a mix, I would say, in any situation. In a negotiation, you need the extrovert who can bang the table, maybe, or metaphorically anyway, and the introvert who's taking it all in and analysing stuff in their head. You need all these things. It's a good mix to have. You
know? Yeah. So if people took one thing from today anyway, it's that introversion is definitely something to be embraced.
Yeah.
There's so many texts coming in. I'm a bit less shy than I once was, maybe an age thing. Helps me to think of the quote, you'll worry a lot less about what other people think of you when you realise how seldom they do. That's Anthony from Tyrone. Again, like, slight suggestion that you don't be so up yourself. Someone else thinks their shyness equals a lack of confidence from a difficult childhood, and that probably is true. Like, the way you described it at the beginning there, that Pádraig, there are genetic elements, but that clearly a trauma, like, or something being said that stuck in people's heads.
Yes.
Michael, I talked to the other two about their breakthrough moments, but you had this extraordinary breakthrough moment. Now, not a typical shyness breakthrough moment in that you were on a stage filming a television show.
Yeah. I was filming Holding, which was the adaptation of Graham Norton's novel, and it was Kathy Burke was directing it. In the crowd were 80 extras, Brenda Fricker, Siobhan McSweeney, Conleth Hill and Pauline McGlynn. And I was on stage with a song I had written for a television show performing it. And I couldn't do it. And I was standing there absolutely frozen. And we filmed maybe a couple of takes. And a runner came over and he was like, Kathy wants to know, are you okay? And I was like, I can't believe, like, I've gotten everything I wanted here and I'm allowing this to ruin it. And I just thought, I'm not going to allow that to happen anymore, you know? And it was hard, but I just had to power through and almost like ignore it, just feel the fear and do it anyway. And it kind of, I'm all the better for it, I think.
Okay. Pádraig, before we finish up, so you've given bits of advice over the course of things, but just a couple of, what's the one tip you would give people?
I think it is that realisation that other people don't know how shy you are. To me, that is a big one. I think that's really important. And therefore, you have a little bit of cover, if you like. You have a bit of cover.
Yeah.
And just remember, everybody is performing, extroverts, introverts, the whole lot, everybody is performing. That's what being a social animal means. So you can perform a bit too if that's what you need to do. But remember, people do not know. It's okay. They can't see. They don't see the embarrassment that you feel inside you.
Okay, right. So they don't know. Everyone remember that. Listen, for a bunch of shy people, we've done way too long there. I'll take a break. Pádraig O'Moran, Michael Fry and Pauline Dunn. Thank you all so much. And we'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.